Hello and welcome to Sox Talk on Air right here on SoxTalk.com. I am Mario Scalise coming to you from the city of Chicago. And out west, the man who apparently thinks he's a play-by-play man in his own little fantasy land is Jason Gage. What's up, Jason?
Not much. It was a beautiful weekend over here. Obviously, can't be the same set for Toronto or Chicago.
Chicago.
It was raining. What was important is we won 2 out of 3.
But after getting knocked around.
Before we start talking about the Sox, yesterday was Easter Sunday for some. Otherwise, it was just a typical Sunday for others. But I want to know, Mario, what did the Easter Bunny bring you?
Eggs.
Eggs?
Lots of
good?
Eggs. No,
plastic. Did you find
eggs.
Them?
Yes, I did. I kicked my little nieces and nephews' asses with them.
Ooh. What, you were throwing egg yolk on them and stuff?
No. It was an Easter egg hunt. I actually found more than they did. Which actually broke a streak because I've been losing for the past few years.
Did you hide them this year?
I had a good strategy this year. I had a good game plan, and I stuck with it, and I pulled it through.
Yeah, your game plan was hiding the eggs.
No. I actually laid out a map of the room that we were doing the hunt in. I laid it out. I laid all the possible points of where the eggs could be hidden, and I went from there.
I like it. Strategy. Mm-hmm. It sucks. You need to use more strategy.
And then I rubbed it in their faces. Because I won.
Did you paint any of the eggs? I remember like when I was a kid, we used to take
I
them.
I did use to paint eggs when I was little.
You could even get those little things where you'd put them in water for a little bit, and they would like, it would almost be like a dress over the egg, and it would shrink onto them, and then you could paint around it.
Okay, I didn't want the eggs look feminine because you're putting dresses on them. I didn't put dresses on them.
Yeah, but they weren't dolls. They were action heroes.
With dresses?
Yes.
No.
It's called going in disguise.
When I painted my eggs, I didn't actually paint them into people. I just put various colors on there. I wasn't too creative. I was one of those weird artists that just throw a whole bunch of different colors together. That's art. That's kind of how I was.
I just try to color in the lines.
Kind of like Chris on Family Guy. You
like
that?
Oh, God, I was thinking back to last week when his parents were licking him.
All right, well, let's get going with the show. There was actually a good week to talk about with the Sox because they swept the Detroit Tigers to start it off, right? Didn't they?
It is correct, but we are no longer called the Sox. Anytime the name Chicago White Sox is said, we either dub us the first place Chicago White Sox, because we are now in first place.
Or
the defending World Series champion Chicago White Sox.
I like first place. Because it's always better to be number one.
Exactly. First place is more relevant.
Yes.
Winning a World Series isn't going to do anything for us this year. But the Sox went 5-1 on the week. We swept Detroit. And Detroit came back to earth. Although Detroit helped us out and took advantage of Cleveland, taking 2 out of 3 from the Tribe, if I recall. And now there's a three-way tie atop the division, Cleveland, Chicago, and Detroit. And had the New York Yankees lost to the Minnesota Twins yesterday, it would have been a four-way tie, which would be pretty cool. And it just shows this is going to be a pretty fun division.
Yeah.
But the Sox could have damn near and probably should have swept Toronto. If it weren't for a poor performance John Garland struggled, and he struggled worse than Vasquez, but somehow he was able to hold two outrageously large leads.
Yes.
And Vasquez couldn't do that.
But to go down 1-0 to the Blue Jays and then come back those next two games, and of course Saturday, we all know what Burley did. He pretty much did what he always does, it seems like, after the Sox lose a game, is he came in through, 8 innings?
Yeah, Burley pitched outstanding. He's had a really good start of the season. I mean, we had that rain delay game against the Tribe on opening day. The following week, he ended our losing skid by just shutting down the Royals.
Yeah.
And he was the only one. I mean, the Royals have both of their wins against the Sox, and it'll be interesting to see what we do against them this week. But Burley had some other news, and it happened yesterday during his rain delay. Should the White Sox be putting this guy in jail?
I would think so. I mean,
convincing fans to run out on the field, and then the fans that run out on the field get arrested? I mean, interesting.
But something, you know what, the whole fining him thing, I think it's fine. I think telling him not to do it again, I think is perfectly fine. Even though it's all in fun, and that's great, what he's doing, he could very well hurt himself. But then enticing fans to come onto the field, that's just not too smart. That's just not a very intelligent thing to do. So I'm all for the Sox giving him a little fine and kind of, you know, telling him not to do it anymore. You know, if Mansell Lee wanted to do it because he did it last year, they should go out there and have those guys do it. You know, have the guys, have the coaches do it. Go have Harold Baines do it.
I want Joey Cora to do it.
Joey Cora could do it. Tim Raines could do it. You know?
Raines can perfect his slide, and then that way... Oh, no. Too bad he's not first base coach anymore. I loved it watching him when he would just run in
just
every
time
they make a throw.
Just have Ross Glow do it. He's not going to play anyway. Just have him do it.
Three at-bats, and to coincide with those three at-bats, to have him like have three slides on the tarp.
That's
like it. The way you think.
I mean, seriously, if they're not going to play him, if they obviously feel that he's of no use, say, hey, you could slide in the tarp. Just have him slide in the tarp.
You know what we should do? We should be the first team, well, at least in the modern era, to win this thing with a 24-man roster. Just tell people we're that good.
And make it clear that we have this guy named Ross Glow, who's a pretty good ball player. We're not even going to play him. That's how good we are. We're not even going to play him, and we're still going to win.
We're so good. We have Hideo Nomo in Charlotte. That's how good we are.
He's still on the team, isn't he?
He's making his first start. I actually thought a hurricane or a tornado hit Charlotte last night because I got an email from the press guy at Charlotte, and it was their advertisement for Nomo's first start. It says a tornado hits Fort Mill, which is where the Knights Stadium is. Yeah. Turns out that's Hideo Nomo's nickname, and he's making his debut today.
Whoa.
But
now,
how many guys have a player who's thrown a no-hitter in the American League and National League in the minors?
Well, we're not
special
talking
team.
We're not talking about the Knights. We're talking about the Sox. But off the field again. Well, this is kind of off the field in that it really.
This was on the field. This was on the pitcher's mound. This was a disgraceful thing to do.
Freddie Garcia, Saturday's game was a rain delay. Everybody remembers the fifth inning. The umpires, the players, everybody's just trying to end the inning, except for maybe the Blue Jays who are trying to come back. It was all rainy. The fields were terrible. They looked like a Little League diamond at a local park. Ball was hit through Gucci. Obviously, because it was rain and there was puddles all over, he misplayed the ball. Went right under his legs. Garcia apparently threw his hands up in the air. Kind of, he was upset that Iguchi missed the ball, even though Iguchi really, he was in a tough situation to actually make the play.
It's not a tough play, but in that kind of weather, everything like that, for Freddie to raise his arms when he walked like three batters in the inning,
yes.
He caused all this,
yes.
You know. He put this upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously the conditions were bad. I'm sure Freddie had trouble gripping the ball. But you do not freaking show up in your own infielder.
Exactly.
That's just,
you know,
a no-no.
That's
a fine. That's a benching. That's Ozzy getting serious. And Ozzy was serious, I guess. He lit into Freddie about that. And that's just disrespectful to Tadahito Gucci, who a day before that made what may be the play of the year when he robbed the speedy, the fleet-footed Benji Molina. That was just ridiculous. I don't know if you have not seen the play. I try to do my play-by-play version of it, try to give you guys a visual.
Do you know, no, it's a hard play to give a visual on unless you actually, like, do it. Like,
it's a soft grounder that goes over the head of Bobby Jenks.
It was
right?
it was pretty much directly behind the pitcher's mound.
And Iguchi comes running in and basically dives for the ball. So he's in air, grabs the ball, and as he's diving down, somehow he gets his arm around and throws the perfect strike to Paul Konerko.
Well, no, it wasn't a perfect strike. I don't know why people say perfect strike when balls like that. It wasn't a perfect strike. It would have actually been high and away had it would have been a pitch.
Yeah, he would have hit the batter. The batter would have charged the mound.
Yes.
Regardless, you will see this play on ESPN a whole lot.
It was a great, great play. One of the best plays I've ever seen. And you know what kind of ruined the play, if anything? Is that Benji Molina was running, and Tadahito Gucci probably could have got up and made the throw, or ran it over there better yet. But had it been an average runner,
he would have still been out. That's what was impressive. Benji Molina wasn't 20 feet from 20 feet from the catcher's home plate. Yet, if it was a fast, fleet-footed run, even if it was, say, Scotty Pasetnik, it would have been a close play.
No. He would have been safe.
It would have been safe?
He would have been safe easily. There would have been no doubt about that. The ball was hit too soft, and you got to remember that when the throw was made, Konerko had to go off the bag and then touch it again.
This is true.
So yeah, a guy like Bezenek would have beat it out easily,
but
the throw, the fact that he was literally like what, 4 inches off the ground,
and yeah, he had and to even throw did like a tumble mode. He was getting ready to do a somersault.
It was a weird play, a weird play, but. You really didn't let me get my thoughts out about the whole Garcia thing, okay? Going to go back to the negative part, okay? I don't like when players go out there and they get all pissed off. Unless you have a situation where you're doing everything you can and your defense just is constantly making errors behind you. But if you put yourself in a position where you're walking 3-4 guys and somebody makes a mistake, you should realize that you're mostly at fault for that. But you got to give credit for Guillen in this. I don't know if you agree with me in this, but it always seemed like Guillen might have had some favorites on the team.
And Freddie has to be one. I mean, this is somehow related to him.
Yes. And you would think that if there was a situation where Guillen was going to kind of use that favoritism, it would be that situation where he would completely ignore it and say no big deal. But the fact that he went out and during the game called Garcia out, that says a lot to me. Especially when, you know, he had all the little, the small little friction between Gucci and Guillen when it comes to playing time. The fact that Guillen went out there and told Garcia off, or not, you know, basically put him in line during the game, I think that says a lot.
That is a really, really excellent point. And it doesn't just say something to Freddie Garcia and Tadahito Gucci.
To the rest
More
of the team.
More importantly, it says, yeah, it says a lot to the rest of the team. And it says, Ozzie doesn't care who you are. You could be Ross Glode, or you can be Paul Konerko making $12.5 million a year. Regardless of the fact, he's going to go out and he's going to go out to bat for you if someone tries to show you up, or if and vice versa. If you make a bad play, regardless of who you are, regardless of how good you are, if you do something that's inexcusable,
yeah,
he's gonna let you know about
it. You know
it,
what?
And
I don't know.
The point of that is that's not going to happen again.
If you've seen the replay, I think they actually show Guillen right after it happens. He kind of threw his hands up. I think he was doing that more or less. At first, I was thinking he did that kind of like, you know, joking around, like, you know, how did Iguchi miss the play? But I think after thinking about it, because I initially didn't see Garcia throw his hands up. That's what I heard later on. But I think maybe Guillen saw Garcia throw his hands up in disgust, and he kind of was doing the same thing, like, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think that was definitely the case.
But
I mean, it was an interesting event, and it just shows why this team plays hard for manager Ozzie Guillen. And at the same time, there are not many managers in baseball now with this whole where the actual players are making so much money. Basically, managers favor, they're quiet, they're afraid to call out their star players.
Yeah.
Yet, Ozzie Guillen isn't willing to do that. Every single one of these people on there is a member of the team, and he doesn't give any one of them
and even more so,
clout or anything.
I think a lot of managers, if they were going to do anything, they would have done it after somebody would have brought it up to them. You know, they would say, hey, do you see what Garcia did? And then he'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to handle it. In his case, before anybody even said anything to him, he dealt with it. You know what I mean? A lot of times you might have a manager just completely ignore it unless a media member brings it up to them, and then they'll say, well, we're going to deal with it in-house. But he just said, no, I'm dealing with it right now. So I think that says a lot. Now, back to the game. Tommy's got like 7 home runs right now, right? Konerko got hot. He had that 2 homer game on Saturday, I believe it was, against Burnett.
On Saturday.
The great A.J.
Burley
Burnett.
Burley gave up 2 runs.
Burley did. Yeah,
Actually, Burnett pitched pretty well.
I know. I was just joking. Anytime Burnett gives up a run, I'm gonna have fun with
you
it.
You could give up a run in a complete game on an unearned run, and you would be laughing. But this middle of the order is getting hot, and this is a big boost to our middle of order last year. And the only thing that kind of makes things...
Konerko and I were both batting about 115 at this time last year. And, of course, who knows with the whole juice ball thing. I mean, a lot of guys are batting 300 now, and it's kind of weird. But Tome, Konerko, Dai, they're all batting well above 300 right now.
So is Pierzynski. Pierzynski's right around the 300 mark.
What I meant is like kind of like the 3 main guys in the order. I think of the 9 guys the Sox started yesterday, 8 of them were batting over 300. The only 2 was Mikoviak, who's off the bench, no real big deal there, and Scott Bezenek.
Now, it's actually funny. You're speaking of averages. As of Saturday, the White Sox had, I think, 8 batters hitting over 300, no batters hitting in the 200 range, and then I think 5 or 6 batters hitting in the 100 range. So you're either doing really good or really bad.
That means everybody's contributing.
And the really bad typically stands for Scotty Pasednik, but that may be ending. And I'm expecting, this is my prediction for the week, that Scott Pasednik is going to have a good week. He's going to hit over 300 this week. And it started off on Sunday. He led the game off with a triple. And I saw, for the first time this season, I saw the Scott Pasednik of old. Because when he turned first base and that ball was going down the line,
he took it up
and put that in, he just put up in another gear, and bam, he's at third base. Yeah.
No, while we're doing predictions and you had to open up the can of worms on that, I'm gonna say I don't know if he's gonna bat 300 this week. I'm gonna say he's gonna slowly progress and get to where he's got to be. I think he'll probably maybe go, if he's giving me 20 at bats, I could probably see him maybe getting about maybe 5 hits, maybe 5 for 20 this week. Just to try to improve a little bit. One thing I do like is that he's still taking a lot of pitches. He just seems like he's a hair off. He seems like he's a hair off on a lot of his swings, and I think it's just a matter of time. I don't think it's gonna happen this week. I hope it does. I mean, I hope it lasts this week and you know, lasts the whole season. But I just think it's going to take a little bit longer, but I think he will be fine in the long run.
There's no doubt. He's finally healthy. I think that's a big thing. And even before Sunday's game on Saturday, he actually reached base.
Yeah.
And he was running. He was taking off on the pitches. And he wasn't doing that when he was getting on base earlier on in the season. Not that he's been on base much, because he hasn't. But once you see that spark back to, you can just see he gains his confidence back. Because right now he's in a hole, and his hole is magnified, or his slump is magnified by the fact that he couldn't run, and he was still lingering his groin area. But that's not the case anymore. And we'll see who's right. And regardless, I think both of us are optimistic for Pasednik over the course of the season, becoming more of what he was for us last year.
Yeah. And you know, while Pasednik is recovering, one player who is hurt, and he's a small little injury, is Juan Uribe. Fortunately, there's an Alex Cintron on your bench who they've been able to plug into that shortstop spot, and he's been pretty impressive, both offensively and defensively.
Oh, yeah. You can't say I'm surprised, because I was the one who's been saying that he'd become a starter for this team. And I'm probably going to be wrong. He's not going to be a starter, but he could start for a lot of teams. How we got him for Jeff Bagenero is beyond me. I'm glad the White Sox, for once, were willing to take on a little bit of cash.
You know, it might have been one of those deals where, a lot of times we see it here with Kenny Williams. A lot of times he'll overpay for a guy that he's been eyeing for so many years. It might have been the same situation in Arizona. Maybe they saw Bagenero as this reliever who could really help their bullpen immensely, and they figure, you know what, we're going to have to give up something for him. So it might have been the same situation, but Cintron has been a pleasant surprise so far.
Let's remember, this is the same organization that has got nothing for Curt Schilling.
So you just think it was just a dumb move.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
We've covered what we wanted to for the first half of the show.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with, we wish we could find a clip, a Simpsons parody on the White Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf, what he kind of wants. And then we're going to shake down the rest of the AL Central, since we have this four teams right in the mix of things. So stick around.
We're right back.
The countdown to the NFL draft has begun at the web's most informative and comprehensive pro football podcast, hosted by Chris Mayer and Mike Boyko. It's The Blitz.
Here with the draft coming up, everything's getting exciting each and every week. The momentum is building towards the draft.
Join the Mayer and Mikey B for their pre- and post-draft programs, where they're packing 60 minutes with more in-depth interviews, player analysis, and NFL talk than your ears can even handle.
I just think this guy's fantastic. You know my opinion of offensive linemen. You build around your line, and the brick Shaw's as close to a sure thing as there is in this draft.
Ty Hill from Clemson, he's one of the fastest guys in the whole draft. 4.3 in a 40, which is amazing. Any scout's going to drool over that, but he lacks the ideal size.
I love Thomas Howard out of UTEP. I've seen some projections showing him possibly as early as the first round.
Every week, all year, and don't miss the draft edition immediately after the draft ends. Plug into The Blitz on 360thepitch.com.
Welcome back to Sox Talk on the Air, the official podcast of SoxTalk.com. Before we get into our second half, I'd like to quickly give a congratulations to the Chicago Bulls on Sunday. They have clinched at least the A seed in the playoffs. And funnily enough, they have clinched the A seed before this. I think the 7th and 6th seed teams had clinched.
Wow.
It's because we're so good.
I'm assuming they have 3 or 4 games left.
We have 3 games. No, wait.
No,
wait.
I'm assuming they have 3 or 4 games left.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. The big thing is the Bulls are the one team that hold the tiebreaker over pretty much every team because of their strong conference record. And by strong, I have no idea. That could just be 500 because we're obviously under 500 on the season. But if you want to talk more with other Bulls fans on the most interactive Chicago Bulls message board on the net, go to www.talkbulls.com. If you're a Chicago Bear fan waiting in excitement to see if they're going to sign Manning from the Carolina Panthers or whether they're going to draft Brett Favre, the next Brett Favre, we're not going to. But come on and check out TalkBears.com. And if you're a Chicago Blackhawk fan excited for the offseason, wondering if we can finally find a scorer on the ice, check out www.TalkBeehawks.com. And as always, if you want to hear more of Mario's shows or other interactive sports podcasts, check out 360thepitch.com. Now with all our promos out of the way, we can get back to business. Yes. And it's a pretty funny story. AJ Pierzynski, he was on the Score getting interviewed, and well, him, Creedy, Neil Kotz, they're all making appointments at Fantastic Sam's or Supercuts.
Fantastic Sam's?
You guys don't have those out there?
I never heard of a Fantastic Sam's.
Well, it's like Supercuts.
Okay, I cut my own hair, so I don't know.
Yeah, we know. You don't have any hair.
That's why I cut it.
You'd have no problem with Reinsdorf. Mr. Burns, on the other hand, you'd
have
a problem.
Cut
them sideburns, Mario. But I'm bald!
I told you to shave those sideburns. Okay, listen. Is this going overboard for the White Sox? Or is this just simply, you know...
One word comes to mind. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. These guys are awesome. How people can... I think of the Stooges. I think of their goofish hair. I think of when during the rain delay when the White Sox players, Pierzynski, Creedy, they're sitting there and they're watching the World Series highlights and they're busy text messaging Aaron Rowan and Rowan's making fun of Pierzynski for his mullet. I mean, that is the Stooges. And it sucks that Rowan is in Philly because Rowan is a part of this. He's still a part of this team to me because these guys, I mean, they were just awesome. One of the great trios in Sox history in just terms of charisma and attitude. And to take this charisma away, not that a haircut really is what they are, but
God,
come on, you have Creedy and his chops. I mean, I think of the rally Creedy. I think of last playoff run and the guys with the long hair, and then you had the Red Sox with Johnny Damon, and then he went to the Evil Empire and he shaved his beard, you know? I'm not saying we should be the Boston Red Sox, but who cares? These guys have some charisma. They're fun to watch. Their quotes are great. These guys are actually having fun. The Chicago White Sox are more like a Little League team that is really damn good. Because these guys, you can tell, are still having fun playing the game. Ozzie's busy joking in the dugout most of the time. He gets serious when it's need to be when the time's right, like when he went off on Freddy Garcia. Yet these guys have fun, and you watch so many other teams, and the guys are, like, disappointed, and, like, the game's over. They're like, all right, game's over, you know, now made my $200,000 for the game, and I'm going to go do something else. The White Sox, they have fun, and I don't like it when Jerry Reinsdorf goes and tells them what to do. Let these guys have – these guys could all have mullets. We could call them – who knows what we could call them? We could call them the mullets. Who cares? If we win 100 ball games and win another World Series, you know what? Who cares?
But you're making it seem as if the mullets are the reason for the World Series. I'm kind of in between in this. You know, in one end, I do wish that they could just go out there and let the players, you know, when it comes to hair, who cares? You know what I mean? It's no big deal. But at the same time, that's your boss. You know, if the Yankees want to have this clean-cut image, that's cool. If the Sox want to have a cleaner-cut image, that's cool. One thing I would say is just have them cut it a little bit. Don't do this Yankee crap where they have to be clean-shaven all the way around. If they do that, I would seriously be upset because then I think that's just complete bullshit. But in this case, if they just want them to trim it a little bit, you know, you could have a beard, you could have long hair, but, like, not having, you know, past the shoulders or something like that. I mean, just cut it a little bit. I don't mind it. I don't see a big deal with it.
Who has their hair past the shoulders?
I'm saying, I'm just kind of giving out a point. Maybe it's maybe
you're making a point. They don't have the if they have their hair down to their ankles. I didn't mean, that'd be another story.
I'm not saying the shoulders. I'm not saying the shoulders as in that's how they have it. I'm just saying if you want to go out there and say don't have it past this point, that's fine.
It's wrong, wrong, wrong. We're not the New York Yankees. And that's fine. The New York Yankees are clean cut. And I don't get it. There's no stereotypical image. There's nothing negative associated with any of these guys' hair. Obviously, there's a lot of stereotypes about mullets. And a lot of people make fun of mullets. But these guys are major league players.
Would you wear a mullet?
No.
Why?
God, no.
Why?
I'm not cool enough.
No, no, seriously. Why wouldn't you wear a mullet? There's nothing wrong with it.
I never said there's anything wrong with wearing a mullet. But it puts you in a different league. If I was on the Chicago White Sox, would I wear a mullet? If Creedy and AJ Pierzynski came to me and said, all right, we're going to make a bet. Which one of the three of us will wear a mullet for the longest? Yeah, I would do it. Because I'm not relying on different things and having to be a professional in the business world. These guys are being professionals in the baseball world. And they get paid very well for it.
Yes, if they get paid very well, they should listen to their bosses who are paying them the money.
They did listen to their bosses. They got them a World Series ring.
Oh.
But we looked. We scoured the net to find the clip of Mattingly and those sideburns. But we found a great clip, and we're going to play it for you guys after our show is over. So if you stick around when we end our show, you'll get about a two-minute song, Simpsons song. It's great.
It's not 2 minutes. It's shorter than that, but it's a great song nonetheless. It's a song that I actually almost memorized word by word. Word for word, word by word.
One of the two. But instead of seeing mullets, which you see some of them in Tucson when you go to spring training, there's a possibility in 2008 or 2009 the White Sox will instead be training in Glendale, Arizona. The Chicago White Sox and Los Angeles Dodgers yes. are negotiations with the city of Glendale. And I'm going to give a quick background for those of you not familiar with Tucson, Arizona. Tucson, Arizona is where the Colorado Rockies, Arizona Diamondbacks, and Chicago White Sox train. And the White Sox have a great joint facility with the Diamondbacks called Tucson Electric Park.
Yeah.
But
the Tucson area is
to play
dead
any
area.
Team outside of Tucson, to play any team outside of Tucson, you got to take an hour and 45-minute bus ride, pretty much minimum, to get into the Phoenix area, which is where most of the teams are. They're all within a 30-minute radius yeah. if you're in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And the bus rides get tired for players. It's obviously tough on Jerry Reinsdorf, Ken Williams, and Paul Konerko because the three of them live in the Scottsdale region. And you have this traveling that's not necessary. And Reinsdorf has been wanting the team to move for a while. He's tried to get him into Scottsdale and maybe share a facility with the Giants. He's tried to get him to take over for the Angels, but the Angels just renegotiated with Tempe Stadium, Tempe Diablo. And now the White Sox, even though they're under contract, it appears the Cleveland Indians, who were in Tucson, hence the reason you see their old stadium, which is still in existence right now in Major League when it starts, when you have Willie Mays Hayes sleeping outside on the field. But the Indians would like to come in and take over the White Sox at Tucson Electric Park. And then the White Sox and Dodgers, and the Dodgers should train in Florida, but they could come out here and
to Glendale,
be
and
greater
Glendale
associated.
Glendale is a redeveloping area. We were there not too long ago, and that was really the Arizona Cardinals stadium going up, and then like seemed like miles of land around it.
Yeah, and then you have the Phoenix Coyotes play there. They're building like an amphitheater there. It is just a big-time booming area. It's a pretty nice area, and it would be great for the Chicago White Sox to move there. And that's pretty quick. I mean, 2008 or 2009. So, obviously, the city of Glendale already has its plans, and they made a deal with Major League Baseball, and they can exclusively negotiate with pretty much any team to get a franchise. And yeah. Goodyear is another option, but Goodyear's a little more out of the way, so to speak.
Goodyear?
Yeah, Goodyear is where the Anaheim Angels were supposedly going to move because Angel owner Artie Moreno is actually developing the area.
That's the city, Goodyear?
Yep. I think it's where Goodyear Tires come.
So there's Surprise,
they have a big plant there.
There's Surprise, Arizona. There's Goodyear, Arizona. That's weird.
And weird. It's funny this report comes out today because every time we go to spring training, all I hear is, all we do is see the damn Sox. All we do is this. All we do is that. One day I'm going to drag you to Florida instead. And then we can watch my Dodgers.
I'm sorry.
And that's what my father says. And it's his birthday today, so I'm going to wish him a happy birthday. I think he's turning like 80.
80?
Well,
wow.
I think he's 64, actually.
Wow.
He was 42 years old when he had his now famous son who's now on podcast.
Happy birthday, Mr. Gage.
But he is this is going to be his birthday gift. Instead of giving him a present... Although I'm going to give him a present.
You're just
going to
let the White Sox,
though. Know.
You're going to let the Sox and Dodgers give him
a present.
I'm
taking him to lunch
good.
Later today.
Well, that's...
But this is his present. He can now see the Sox in spring training.
Okay.
Or, I mean, the Dodgers.
Okay. Now, all this happening, this president is like, what, 2-3 years away, so let's not talk about that. 2006, though, we talked about earlier on this AL Central. It's going to be such a tight race. All teams are just within one game of each other right now. The Royals, a little bit out.
But the Royals are playing the White Sox.
The Sox this week.
So they're going to continue their streak where all their wins come against the Chicago White Sox.
But it was good. It was good to see the innings. I mean, the Tigers take 2 or 3 from the innings this week. It was good to see the Twins recover from their, I think, 1-4 start. It was good to see them recover. This division, I'm happy. I mean, you know what? And maybe I'm not a Sox fan when I say this, but if the Sox don't win a division, that doesn't bother me as long as the division is competitive. And you could criticize me for that if you want. But if all these teams are going to be winning 87-plus games, 88, 89 games, and this could be a hard-fought division to the end, I don't know if I would care who wins. I would just enjoy watching that develop.
Oh, it'd be fun to watch, and a race would be great, but I want that other team to win the wild card. And real quickly, White Sox fans, White Sox Nation, send all your hate mail to mario@shysport.com.
Why?
He's never given out his email address, and I think this is a perfect time to give it out.
That's not my email. That's...
Yeah, he's
Why?
Trying to deny it, people.
Why? Because
That is his email address.
So wait a minute, I have to go out there and I have to just completely, like, praise the Sox all the time?
Yes.
I'm being honest. If I would rather see, as a baseball person, I would rather see this division be extremely competitive and in a fun race down the stretch, then see the Sox run away with it. Sorry.
I would love to see a good race, but at the same time, I know my heart.
Oh, so you want everything,
take, like,
right? You want everything.
Late in the game. Yeah. Can I have my cake and eat it too? Like I've said, some of these sayings are the stupidest things ever.
That doesn't make
why
any
can't
sense.
You have, why can't you have cake and
that
eat
you made
it too?
I know. That doesn't make any sense.
What do they think? You're going to keep the cake for like
yes.
a month? Why in God's sakes would anyone do that?
I can have my
get
cake
moldy.
But that, is it like someone who has a birthday and then they want their own special cake made for them and then they don't eat it? That doesn't make any sense. I never understood that.
Yeah. See, I don't get these sayings. Okay. I botch all these types of sayings, but they don't make any sense. But the White Sox, they can have their cake. We can win the division by 7 or 8 games, have it close for the first half of the season. Then we start turning it away. We just start pulling away and we win. And then one of Cleveland, Detroit, and Minnesota can win a wild card. Our division will be strong, but the White Sox will have at least enough leeway at the end of the season where every game I'm not just sitting there about ready to have a heart attack.
But why? Why do people have to have a heart attack? See, when I was watching the end of last season and I was watching the Sox, you know, kind of blow their lead and I was watching the Indians kind of taking away the lead, I enjoyed it. I will admit, it
was pretty fun.
It
made
fun.
The games more meaningful.
I see, I'm not the type of
but
person.
But I also remember.
I'm a very big Sox fan, okay? You know that. I'm a very big Sox fan. But you know what? If they lose a game, I don't care. If they win a game, it's fun, but 5 minutes later, it's not going to actually change my life. So when I watched this at the end of the year, yeah, I didn't want the Sox to blow it just because I didn't want people bitching and complaining after the fact, but I did enjoy it. I did enjoy watching their race. I did. It was fun. It was entertainment. Baseball is entertainment. That was an entertainment. It was fun.
But you're telling me A.J. Pierzynski is ruled out. That ball doesn't hit the ground. Now the Angels have a 2-0 lead. The Angels win the third game.
Okay.
White Sox don't make the World Series. Okay. You wouldn't have been upset.
It would have sucked.
You wouldn't have been upset?
You know what happened?
But the game, you wouldn't have been like, oh, well, we lost.
Yeah.
You would have at least had a little bit of frustration.
A little bit, for maybe about 2 minutes. You know what happened when they won the World Series? You know what I did? I was like, wow, that's cool, and that was it. Like, I wasn't celebrating for joy. There were people freaking running up down. I'm not too far away from the park. There were people, like, going to the park, celebrating, cheering, going crazy. It's entertainment to me. It was fun. I love watching the game, and I was hoping for them to win. But if they would have lost, it would have been like, oh, well, okay, what am I doing tomorrow?
You know, Mario, I'm just going to ruin your whole attitude where you don't get excited about things, because I happened to be in Chicago, and we were watching.
No, stop. You're completely missed what I said. What I said is there's a lot of people who, if the Sox would have lost that game, they would have seriously have been depressed for weeks on end. Me, when I go to a game, I do go to games sometimes. When I go to the game, and remember that Dodger series?
That was awesome.
That did get my adrenaline rushing. That did. And I was pumped up, okay?
See, that's what you're talking about. A pennant race brings a lot of those situations where you get that adrenaline going.
Yes, but I'm talking about after that initial rub off. I'm not like, woo, yeah, woo. For the time being, I could get excited, especially if there are people around me getting excited, because I think we were in a bar and there were a couple people jumping up, so I got a little excited. And if I'm at the game and everybody's jumping up, I'll get a little excited. But after the fact, it's not like it wears off. I had fun for the moment. It was entertainment for me for the moment. And you know what? This is what I do. I do two shows a week talking about sports. I work in a magazine doing sports. This is what I do. But I don't like to just completely like just get depressed and get too excited over it. It's entertainment.
All right, enough about your entertainment and how you're entertained, because we just don't care.
Well, the listeners don't care.
You're not easily amused. Ooh, a blue car.
No, I do get amused by blue cars. Okay? I do.
They are pretty fancy.
They are pretty fancy. And a squirrel with a puffy tail.
Whoa. Let's not talk about squirrels. I've always been enamored by squirrels. But let's just put it this way. Which teams are for real in this four-way race? Is everyone going to be there? Come season's end,
the Sox,
pretty much right neck and neck.
The Indians and the Twins.
The Tigers. So you're laughing at my Tigers.
The Tigers will be a very competitive team, and I hope they do good because I want this race to be as competitive as possible. I hope the Royals do better, and maybe they won't necessarily compete, but I hope they give some problems to some teams down the stretch. I really do. But I don't see the Tigers holding on. I just don't see it happening. I think the Twins will do fine.
The more I watch Cleveland, I think Cleveland will not be in this race come September. Minnesota, Detroit will be close. They will be battling for a wild card spot. But the more AL Central baseball I've watched, and I've been watching a lot of it recently, there is no doubt in my mind the Chicago White Sox should win this division by 7 games or more. We are that much better of a team. Now, this is why you still have to play the games. Injuries happen. You could have who knows who develop on one of these other teams and turn into a star. You could have Liriano turn into the next Johan Santana tomorrow, and all of a sudden them have the greatest 1-2 duo in the majors. But as of today, after watching these four teams play, probably I've seen the Sox play probably 7 games this season, maybe 8 or more. I've seen the other teams play at least 3 or 4 games. There's no doubt the Chicago White Sox are the cream of the crop in this division. And right now, I have to say, out of the American League, they are the cream of the crop in the American League. The Boston Red Sox have played solid. I'm not overly impressed with their pitching staff. It is not that great. The Baltimore Orioles are 7-6. They're not going to hold it. They do not have the pitching. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays are 7-6. I don't even need to go more in depth on that. The New York Yankees, they will be there. Once again, pitching. I realize the Sox pitching has not been great this season, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out we have five good arms.
This bullpen,
no one else in the American League has
said
that.
I said it before the season. This bullpen of the Sox is either going to make them competitors in this American League, or they're just going to become the cream of the crop with it. I think they're going to be a competitive team no matter what. If this Sox bullpen improves and progresses, because I think the rotation is going to be fine. I think Garland will be fine. I think Vasquez will be fine. I think Garcia, I think, will be okay. This bullpen, though, if they get it together and they hold it, I think they're by far the best team in the American League. But I think it all starts with this bullpen.
I'd agree with that. How great we do is going to hinge on our bullpen. Mm-hmm. If our bullpen is bloody awful, we will be right in this race with the AL Central. Yeah, I want to be British for once. Be James Bond. Then we will be right in this race in the Central. If our bullpen is good to great, or basically what it was last year, which was pretty damn good, we will run away with things. And the only teams in the American League I can see competing with us are those in our own division, because as much as I knock Cleveland, because I think their pitching is freaking awful, Cleveland has a great offense. They have some good young arms. They had a great bullpen last year, and while they lost guys, and I don't think much of their bullpen this year, they could damn near prove me wrong because they have a lot of those young arms that could develop. I don't see Detroit. I don't see Minnesota being World Series caliber teams. I could see Cleveland developing into that as much as I slam them. And as much as I don't think they're going to be ahead of Detroit and Minnesota, or at least not way ahead of them. And then you have Boston and the Yankees, who I think are very similar to the teams they were last year. Despite the moves they've made, they're still very similar teams to what they were last year, which are insanely talented offensive squads that lack starting pitching. And in some instances, they lack a lot in the bullpen. You have Boston using Papelbon as their closer, as they figure out what's going on with Keith Foulke. And then the AL West, Oakland is everyone's, you know, dream team, and Oakland has the pitching. I don't think they have the offense to do it. I don't think the Angels are a very good team, even though they may get into the playoffs because they have a great manager. They're
not
going to go anywhere from there.
I think when you look at the American League West, I think it's, for the most part, I think it could be up for grabs. I think if how those teams do in the playoffs is going to be purely on momentum alone. I think if one of those teams gets hot at the right moment and they get into the playoffs hot, I think momentum might carry them. But as far as just pure flat-out talent and just being a team, I agree with you. I think the Sox are very competitive right now. But if that bullpen improves a little bit, they're the best team in the American League.
And most importantly, as long as our guys, our main key cogs, stay healthy. And I'm speaking mainly of Jim Thome because he's had his health issues.
Yeah.
But the Jim Thome we're seeing right now is it's fun to watch. It's about as great of a show as I've seen in a White Sox uniform, and that includes Frank Thomas, because every time the ball leaves the yard with Jim Thome, it's a no doubter.
Well, I'm not this huge fan of home runs, especially when I see guys purposely trying to hit them. But in Tome's case, I've seen him take a lot of close pitches just to try to work a walk, and I think that's what separates. If I see Tome going up there and swinging and trying to pull every single pitch, I don't care that he has 7 home runs. I personally wouldn't care for him right now. But the fact that he's taking a lot of close pitches and working deep in the counts and taking those walks in a situation where he can maybe try to hit the ball hard somewhere, that says a lot to me about him. So that makes it more enjoyable for me.
Plus, Jim Thome doesn't just pull the ball. Even though they put that big shift on him, the reason they put that shift on him is he does not hit many ground balls, period. And when he does hit ground balls, they're going to be pulled ground balls.
Yeah.
So he doesn't hit ground balls over there, even though the outfielders may not play that, you know, pull shift. The outfielders tend to play straight away on Thome because he has such good opposite field power. I mean, just look at yesterday's game where he ripped a single over into left field. He's had quite a few, he's had a couple opposite field home runs already.
Yeah.
As well as home runs to dead center, pretty much, which was what yesterday's was. It was to right center.
Yeah. His home runs are just, they're just power shots, and his approach really isn't really set to do that. He's still taking some long at bats, and he's just trying to get on base. So, I've really liked what I've seen from him.
And I'm going to compare it to the Frank Thomas we've seen of this decade. The Frank Thomas we've seen of this decade is one that swings for the fences. And everyone was always raving, oh, he still can hit home runs. He can still do this. He can still do that. Yet, all these stupid statisticians are sitting there, and they're talking about, oh, look at his OPS. The guy's hitting 230 at the time. You know, like last year, he comes up and he hits all those home runs. He's hitting 230, striking out. Any pitch he throws, he's just trying to cheat and hope that they throw him a fastball. That is not skilled hitting. That is why he's hitting 100 in Oakland. All these statisticians that just look at OPS and OBP need to figure out there's a big little thing called AVG, average. Guys need a hit to knock guys in. You don't knock runners in with walks. I'm a fan of walks. Walks make you a better player, but you have to hit before you can get walks. If that makes any sense. You have to be a solid hitter before walks make you a better player. If all you can do is draw walks,
really,
play somewhere else.
When it comes to stats, I think the answer is just to actually, you know, watch the game. Watch him. And it, you know what? I like Thomas, and I hope he does great in Oakland. But if you do watch Thomas, you are right. If you do watch Thomas, forget the numbers. If you do watch Thomas, you will see that he's not the hitter he was. And he is just trying to simply go long.
He's just playing for himself. He is playing for 500 home runs. That is it. He knows that puts him as a lock into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Frank Thomas is selfish. And as amazing as he was, and in his prime, there may not have been a better hitter than Frank Thomas. Ever.
Nope.
In his prime. But it's just so sad that he had to be that type of person on the field and off the field. There's nothing wrong with Frank Thomas. He's a very quiet man, but he ruined things by calling stupid press conferences and opening his mouth. And I just wish that wasn't the case, because Jim Thome is like the exact opposite. Both are incredibly talented baseball players, both Thomas and Thome. But Jim Thome is a better man. And he's a better teammate. And he is such a better fit for this White Sox team. And, I mean, that was just a tremendous move. If Jim Thome stays healthy, I think White Sox fans everywhere, if he can live out his contract just for 3 years, what he's going to put, I think a lot of Sox fans are going to think of him as one of the greatest players to put on a Sox uniform, even though he only plays with us for 3 years, if he can do what he's doing right now. And that's a big if, because he's getting older with every year.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's a young man right now. But it is fun to watch Jim Thome. That's just the point of it. And Jim Thome is a lot like Barry Bonds, because you watch him take those close pitches. Jim Thome waits for his pitch. He doesn't just swing at any strike. He wants his strike. And I commend him for that. And kids can learn a lot watching a guy like Jim Thome sit there and not be forced to swing at things. Instead, he chooses what he wants to swing at. And he does a darn good job at that. And I think that silence
that was,
by Mario
that
says he
was
just taking a nap.
Hell of a little talk you had right there. Did you even breathe?
I don't know.
All right, well, we're going to breathe for a while because we're gonna call it a show. We're going to be back next week. Sox, if you're ever wondering, they're playing today against the Marlins. They're not playing the Marlins. Do they play the Marlins this year? No, they're playing the Royals.
Interleague play, oh yeah.
They're playing the Royals.
No, they play the Kansas City Royals and then Monday through Wednesday.
Minnesota. Then they play Minnesota.
And
which would be a nice series. I'm going to be looking forward to that one.
Are you going to go to any of the games?
I am.
Oh, really?
You were expecting me to say no, I am. I actually am going to one of those games.
I am surprised. For those of you who have never sat at a game with Mario, he loves fans. You should come up to him and tell him how much Joe Creedy sucks or how bad the White Sox are doing. He loves to hear fans' perspectives. Loves it.
You know, you're really making me reconsider going to the game now.
Oh, I know. And the first game I ever went to at US Cellular Well, I went to Old Comiskey once as a kid. Not Old Comiskey, but the New Comiskey before it was called anything. And the second time we went, Joe Creedy had just been called up. And there's fans sitting behind us. Joe Creedy sucks. He's a bum. He can't do this. He can't do that. And we're just sitting there, and we're just kind of laughing about it. And bam, Joe Creedy hits his first major league home run. Oh, he's going to be so good. Oh, this, oh, that. That's all we hear. And Mario, he cannot stand to hear any of this stuff. He needs to go with, like, earplugs. Because he hates
it's
fans.
Very hard. Very hard. You know what? I used to love it. What I used to do is when they only used to get, like, 15,000 fans in there, what I would do is I would go to the game, and usually down the third baseline, right by the foul pole, was always dead. You know? It was nobody was there, but it was still good seats where you could watch the game. That's where I used to sit. I used to sit in the top row, down the third baseline. I didn't hear any of the dumb, idiotic comments, and I got to watch the game from a good view. That's my seating. But now, they're getting 35,000, 25,000 people a game.
It's going to be fun time for Mr. Scalise.
I can't avoid it. I cannot avoid them.
Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. And as always, if you have any feedback, email me at contact@futuresox.com.
Say that again.
And remember, send all hate mail to mario@shysport.com.
Say the
email
again.
That releases address. Oh, contact@futuresox.com. Thank you. Have a good one.
Wait a minute. Hey.
What?
Don't go away yet. We promised them softball.
Oh, yeah,
this song with the softball. Enjoy the softball song. Well, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
The power plant had won it, with Roger Clemens clucking all the while. Mike Socia's tragic illness made us smile. While Wade Boggs lay unconscious on the barroom tile, we're talking softball. From Maine to San Diego, talking softball. Mattingly and Canseco, Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw. We're talking softball. From Maine to San Diego, talking softball. Mattingly and Canseco, Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw.